You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined live from Pittsburgh by Mr. Scott Merkin, who is not at Game 6 of the NHL Stanley Cup.
How about that?
Final? How can
I know,
that be?
My heart is there, but the rest of me is in Pittsburgh, ready for the White Sox. Pittsburgh four game series, pretty much.
Well, you were the White Sox were right in the vicinity of the Blackhawks this weekend in Tampa. There had to be some love thrown their way in that regard, right? The White Sox had to be pulling for their city brothers, right?
I want to say like two or three of the players. I know Eaton went and Tyler Flowers went. One of the media relations guys went. Tickets were hard to come by. And as you know, Tampa's got a very restrictive policy on letting, or at least for the series, Chicago people in. But we did find a good Chicago-approved establishment in, I think it was St. Pete, owned by the great Tony Esposito's son. And it was a good time. I would say it was probably 98% Hawk fans in there Saturday night. Barring a couple of stragglers who probably came with Hawk fans to the thing.
There's a Giordano's right on Dale Mabry, so that would have been a possibility as well.
That would have been the second choice, I think. Dale Mabry's Giordano's or engine number 9. I should give a little plug to the establishment.
There you go.
Did a nice job.
We're waiting for that day somebody calls us and offers a big sponsorship deal so Merck and I can go have a beach vacation somewhere, but...
Yeah, I never got the allergy medicine sponsorship that I so richly deserved. That's still waiting out there.
One of these days, Mark. Robin Ventura missed the weekend in Tampa, and good for him, the way it went out on the field. But I got to say, I was reading one of your articles, I think, on Friday, and I actually did a double take because I forgot that Ventura wasn't with the team, and you referenced interim manager Mark Parent, and I was thinking, wait a second, what, did I miss something? Did Ventura get canned? But obviously the way things are going, we've talked about it before, it's only natural that eyes turn towards the managers. I'd imagine things are status quo on the job security front when it comes to Mr. Ventura. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were joking. A couple of the beat writers rode in on the same cab today to our hotels down here in downtown Pittsburgh, and we're joking about how Ventura was going to probably give Mark Parent some grief since he left to go to his daughter Madison's college graduation, and they had just swept Houston, who I believe came into Chicago with the best record in the American League, and they swept them in three games. And then he leaves, and, all chaos breaks loose. They lose three to Tampa, close games every time. But, yeah, I don't see any change. I mean, this is, unfortunately, for the Sox, for better or for worse, or really for neither, because that's how they played all year, is how they've been. They're just kind of for lack of a better phrase, a status quo team. They win three against Houston, who, granted, wasn't playing very well in the game, but that shouldn't take anything away from the Sox. They played well in that series, and their pitching completely shut down a pretty powerful Houston offense, I should say. And they get to two under, and you think, well, okay, this is the move they're finally going to make. And then they go to Tampa and lose three, gut-wrenchers, especially with the way Sale has been pitching and losing that one. So it's just how it's been. Their theory is, win series and everything will be okay. And that's true because they're not, too far out of the picture games-wise. But I think this has got to be a team that in the next few weeks has got to put some sort of significant run together, whether it's 10-2 or 13-3 or something like that, just to show Rick Hahn that, winning a series here or there is not fool's gold and, before Rick makes some potential personnel changes.
Sale also showed some nice leadership, I thought, Sunday. I mean, he pitches his butt off. He strikes out 12 and 6 2/3, and afterwards he's the one taking the blame. That showed me something, I guess, from a maturity standpoint or leadership standpoint, and who knows what it was like when the cameras clicked off, but that was a good move by him, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it was, but I happened to see a video clip on our site where I think it was when he left the game in the seventh, where he walked out and everyone was kind of fist bumping him, and then I saw him take a bat out of the bat rack and disappeared into the tunnel. Now maybe he was just practicing his swings because he may have to hit in St. Louis coming up or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much how Sale rolls. Is that Mark Parent talked about that over the weekend, and we had all seen this already, that his maturity level is just as impressive as his slider or his changeup or his 98 mile an hour fastball. He's a leader on that team. It's kind of hard to do sometimes because you only pitch every 5 days, But he is definitely a leader. And, you know, I asked him the question about, you know, is it frustrating with the offense? And he just kind of, you know, kind of shook his head and said, that's an excuse. That's garbage. He said, you know, the last couple times out, he had gotten some support, and this was his time to you know, pay them back and win it, and he didn't do it. Well, I think he's a little harsh on himself, because I think a pitcher who strikes out two in one game, who strikes out 12 in a game and allows two runs in one game, is allowed to make one mistake and still be in line for a victory. And the man has struck out 79 over the last 53 2/3, I want to say it is. So, you know, it's very admirable of him to, you know, kind of spread the blame on that one. But, you know, the offense needs to produce more, and that's been a problem all year. The starting pitching has been great now. Really, you know, the only guy who's a little kind of up and down, well, I mean, I guess Samardzija a little bit too, but Danks and Samardzija, and Danks really is your fifth starter with Rodon pitching so well, so you can handle that. But, you know, there needs to be some support for this pitching. Even Parent said this on Sunday, that, you know, he was talking with pitching coach Don Cooper and saying they need, you know, it's almost like they have to be perfect to win a game, and that's not a good way to go. But, yeah, there's not enough things. We could probably talk more about him here, but there's not enough good things that can be said about Chris Sale as a person and as a pitcher. Really one of my favorite players to cover over the, 14 years I've covered this team now.
Well, you've been covering Alexei Ramirez for quite a while, and we talked last week about Jeff Samardzija not really doing much to prove his trade value, even if, you know, if things do go completely south for the White Sox and they go down that road. And Ramirez is even more extreme in that regard. He just has not contributed offensively, a 570 OPS. Defensively, made a couple errors in Saturday's game in Tampa. What do you make of where Ramirez is at this season?
Well, it's interesting because I think he still has some trade value, because people do know, you know, he's a Gold Glove finalist at shortstop. He is a Silver Slugger winner. He's just, you know, off to a really bad start. And in the game that cost him the game, which was Saturday, which he said, you know, he had trouble sleeping that night after the game. You know, one play the infield was in. They had a runner on third. I think it was Nick Franklin. And he just couldn't get the ball out of his glove. And that happens. You know, that happens to a lot of players. That was not a mistake as much as it just, you know, it just happened. There's nothing you can do about it. And then he, you know, tried to do too much maybe with that ground ball up the middle that would have left the bases loaded in two outs, tried to flip to Gordon Beckham, who was in at second at that point, covering for the force. I mean, a really good toss would have probably been a close play at second, but he said he didn't have a good grip on the ball. So the problem with Alexei this year is it seems like the mistakes he's made have, you know, has kind of spiraled into big innings for the opposition. So, I mean, he's still a good defensive player. I you know, would argue that with anyone, that he's an upgrade over a lot of people who are playing shortstop. He, you know, he seems to make the tough play look easy. Sometimes the problem with Alexei is he makes the easier plays look tough. Maybe he does a little more than he has to. Still a talented player. You know, he's in his, he came in 2008, so maybe a step slower than when he first got to the major leagues, but still a quality player. And I think still, you know, worth something if they want to go the direction. The problem with that is they don't really have anyone. You know, Gordon Beckham can play shortstop. I'm not sure if he's a guy you want playing every day at shortstop, because he's done so well playing all over. And Tim Anderson probably is, you know, their top pick from a couple of years ago is probably 2017, I would think, in terms of an everyday player. So, you know, it's interesting. They have an option on him next year. It's interesting to see how all this is going to play out. It's not, you know, it's all these guys, Alexei, maybe LaRoche, Jeff Samardzija, maybe Zach Duke, you know, all could be looked at by contenders if the Sox kind of dip further than this. They've kind of hovered at this 500, 600 mark as their low water mark all year, so we'll see what happens against a very good, very hot Pittsburgh team right now.
Yeah, they've never let it get completely away from them.
No, they've never really
gone the other direction.
I don't think they've ever been more than a game over all year, too. So, you know, it's not like it's been very highs and lows or whatever. It's just, you know, just kind of stayed there. Just kind of stayed in the middle, and just when you think they're about to take off, they don't. And just when you think, well, this is it, they're taking the dive and Rick's going to have to make some changes, they don't. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Pittsburgh series now.
One last thing, Merck, looking at last week's draft, the White Sox had the 8th overall pick and then didn't pick again until number 112. They took Vanderbilt right-hander Carson Palmer with that first pick. Break that down for us and the draft in general. How'd it go for the White Sox?
Well, I think, you know, much like many other teams, they had the shortstops who were in the draft very high on their board, but they also realized that at number 8, they probably weren't going to get to them. So in talking to them, this is just not, you know, team draft speak. They're really excited to have Carson Palmer, and they believe for the second straight year they got the best college pitcher, maybe the best pitcher in the draft, and Carlos Rodon, who's pitching, you know, as we tape this, pitching tonight in Pittsburgh, and then Carson Fulmer, who pitched for Vanderbilt in the College World Series, and really like the kid. That, you know, one thing that Nick Hostetler, who's assistant scouting director, and Doug Lauman, who's the director of amateur scouting, and even Rick Hahn said, is that they really like the kid's makeup. And that's something they said about Carlos Rodon last year, too. So that's a good pick. And I will say, you know, one interesting pick behind them, I believe it was the seventh round, which is Blake Hickman, who is the highest pick to have played for their great amateur city elite youth baseball program, which kind of helps the inner city kid get some exposure in Chicago baseball-wise. And as Blake Hickman told me for a story that day, you know, kind of helps him grow up, too. It teaches him more than just on-field stuff. It teaches him kind of off-the-field stuff. If you look at that program and, you know, their volunteer corps that they started, you know, years ago, two really great things that the White Sox should be very proud of. But the draft overall, they like what they got. A lot of college pitching. They added some catchers in there. And I think, you know, you point to Fulmer and Hickman, two of the kind of the standout guys they got in the draft.
All right. There you have it. Scott Merkin, enjoy your time in Pittsburgh. And then maybe when you get back to Chicago, you'll be sipping out of that Stanley Cup, huh?
Buying maybe a few tea. I predict that when we talk next for our next podcast, we'll be opening with a conversation about the third Stanley Cup for the Blackhawks since 2010.
That's amazing. That's an amazing run, and maybe the White Sox can get an amazing run.
One win for them to get. That's really going on the ledge for me.
You take chances, Merk. All right. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra Chicago White Sox Edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.